Hey, it's Tim, Pickup Truck Plus. I should be talked to him by the 5 foot wonder of the world. Jill Spinello, back from vacation, looking fabulous. the French Riviera really suits you well.
Provence. I was in Provence.
Sorry. That's as much as I know about France. And so, yeah, that's Jill. So you had a good vacation, and we haven't done a live stream because I'm without my partner in crime. So welcome. We have a new live stream.
Yes. Hi.
Or podcast. Or
I would say like Happy New Year, but it's April.
I gotta be honest with you. It definitely feels like this year is in a weird start. I'm not sure. I'm kind of in the funk at the moment. I apologize for that, but there's just not much going on. And that's why I started this title with my Ram purchase, and we'll talk some Ram trucks here because last week, while Jill was sunbathing on the French Riviera, we had the Ram RHO came out at a kind of a bargain price of $69,900.
For the low price.
Right, yeah. Which, I mean, people are going to get mad at me and going to argue. And I get it, guys. I get it. Pricing is high. But considering that the Ram TRX was $100,000, basically, I think that quite a bit of a price difference. And then the Bighorn I ordered, which probably, now that I look at it, I completely over-ordered, has way too many features and options, is for 72, and that's the Bighorn. So I had a phone call with Ram on Saturday about another issue, and I was talking to the head of communications over there now, and I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I feel like the truck I order will never be built because it's got too many options that are going to take too long for suppliers to, you know, get into the production. But do you buy the Ram RHO or do you just wait? And I found another Ram truck. This is crazy. Another Ram truck in Missouri that has the straight turbo engine, the SST straight six turbo engine, which what I wanted, right? It's got the new kind of the new engine and maybe one or two new features. Doesn't have very much at all in it though. It's a Bighorn. But they offered $4,000 off in incentives for the brand new truck sitting in a dealer lot. And it was $52,000, which I'm just going to tell you, that fits my budget a lot better.
And $72,000? Yeah.
So, yeah, I was just thinking, I wonder if I should just buy that. I was talking to friends on the forum about it, and we were discussing it. And, you know, they say, just wait and get the truck you ordered. I'm like, I'd like to, but then as we've discussed in this channel many times and things, it's okay to be, in my view, to be the second or third person with a truck, but you can't be 47th. And with the trucks hitting dealer lots right now, I feel like if I don't do something soonish, I'll be 47th in line putting videos out in the truck nobody's going to care about anymore.
Fair.
The joys of YouTube business ownership and what to do and what to decide to do. And I don't know. It's such a weird thing. And then, you know, every time I go to like put my money where my mouth is, a brand new truck comes out. And I'm like, no, crap, what to do now? What to do now? So I don't know. I think I feel like I'm still sold on buying a Ram, right? Because we've owned everything else. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else that's really new this year, right? So the Ford M50 is starting to ship, and we'll get to some Ford woes in a little bit that they've continued to have issues with some things. So there's nothing really new to Ford F-150. There's nothing really new in Chevy Silverado. Nothing really new in GMC Sierra. And I need to buy a truck. I did not buy a truck last year. And let me tell you, it's going to cost me a lot of money because I did not buy a truck because of taxes. So, yeah, I need to buy something. I'm just trying to figure out what to do. Yeah, and Jill's... So Jill has an opinion on a lot of things, and then sometimes she doesn't. And it's like...
I mean, jumping the gun, I actually can't tell you what my opinion is just yet for other reasons.
Okay.
Fine. I can tell you in a couple weeks what my opinion is. I just can't tell you right now.
Fine.
I mean, I could probably tell you specifically, but I can't like put it live on YouTube.
Look at her, all these teasers. And you thought Toyota teasers were bad. Jill teasers are worse.
What I'm saying is I'm going to have news in a couple of weeks about something.
So, but I guess let me ask you this though. what is your opinion on what I should do? Should I wait for the one I ordered with all the options and things? Because as you know, the more options you have, the more things you can film and the more stuff you can do videos of and we can cover. Or do you find like a truck that's more reasonably priced that has less options? Then you just wait for the for like a press loan that has lots of options and do some comparison there.
Well, so when does Ram say you're going to get your truck?
No ETA. I have no VIN.
You're like never.
I got an email from them once that said they accepted my order. That's all.
And, our friends at Ram can't look for you.
I've talked to them a few different times, different things, and it's in the build sequence.
Okay, it seems like you got better updates from Toyota, Ford.
Right. Why? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It's just kind of crazy. I mean, I know Stellantis talked about an auto news story today. They lost, I don't know how many billions of dollars, whatever, because they did not deliver as many vehicles because they closed down the Sterling Heights assembly plant for the changeover of the Ram truck. They reduced some of the production to build new EVs they're focusing on. I mean, a lot of stuff's going on over there. So yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of like, yeah. So Gene says, let's say wait 1 week, Tim, and Fran doesn't give any updates, buy from the lot. I think I could probably search and find something that would be pretty close to what I want. And I don't know that I need all these features. I don't, you know, the barn door has been out for a couple of years now, as far as the 60-40 split and tailgate. So that's something that you could use, not use. Ram boxes have been out for what? God, feels like a decade, right? So is that something you have to have for on a vehicle? No, something you could talk about because I've used them different places. I'd like to try them out, like really putting beer in there and putting fishing and doing stuff with them, but not just having Jill climb in them and fit easily. So at this rate, you get your new truck in December. Well, that's the problem. If I do wait and keep waiting and waiting and waiting, then what's the point of getting it if everybody else has done all this content on it or videos or whatever we're talking about?
So who else has anybody else already gotten it?
Nobody else has gotten it. That's another part of my concerns. If it's a truck to get, nobody else is getting it. does that mean something? Yeah. I don't know. I haven't quite figured out that one yet. So if you have thoughts, you know, put your thoughts down below. I'll be curious to know what you guys think. I don't know. There's so many different facets to it as far as angles look at. You know, there's so many different things going on.
So why not go back to Tacoma, get the hybrid?
Yeah. The problem with Tacoma for me, it's sometimes the curb weight. I think the tax writers for IRS, they like a certain curb weight. I don't know if that matters as much anymore for taxes as far as qualifying. The problem that I have with the Tacoma is the Tacoma contents are already been put out for the gas version. The hybrid, what are you doing separately? You're doing towing and you're doing fuel economy. There's not much else that's different. Looking at the one I want with the Trail Hunter, which is 62. And I'm like, I really wanted it. I think it's pretty cool. I don't see 60. I drove it in San Diego and I did not see $62,000 worth of stuff on that truck. I don't see it. I feel like if I bought it, I would just keep telling myself, I don't see it. To me, it's a $55,000 TRD off-road with a bigger inverter, air intake instead of a snorkel. And a little bit cooler, different looks. I mean, I just don't see that much on there.
But here's the thing. You'd probably get really good resale value.
Yeah.
I don't know that you would get good resale value with the Ram.
That's been a question people brought up quite a bit. Ram has the least, has the worst resale value out of all of them, out of all the trucks. But, I mean, I've not had great success resale value in my area either, on any trucks. The Tundra wasn't that great either. So And it's like, I screwed up. What I should have done was I should have traded in my Silverado for a truck last year. It could have been any truck. It could have been anything in a lot. I could have just traded it in and I would have saved me thousands of dollars and I didn't do it.
Lesson learned.
Right. Yes.
Womp, womp.
Right. So I don't know. This question. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what to do. Yeah. Get it. So two Explorer video says get a different truck, I guess. hold on to the reservation the channel can afford to. I mean, I can hold on a reservation, but like, what other truck would you get? What other truck is new enough out there that get any content views?
I mean, Ranger.
Yeah, I'd like the Ranger Rap, but the Ranger Raptor has been bought by three channels now. I'd like the XLT. I think the Ranger Raptor is pretty cool, but everybody's going for the Ranger Raptor. And it's just like, they're not going to sell that many of them. They're going to sell 5-10% of the full Ranger, full Ranger lineup to do that.
So don't go for the Raptor, go for the Ranger.
Right, the XLT. Yeah. So, but that, I mean, that just leaves the one hole in my thinking is that I've never had a Ram. And I want this channel to be.
But if they can't get you the Ram, you still don't have a Ram.
True.
I'm just gonna put that out there.
I know. this is why I don't sleep at night. I didn't sleep well last night thinking about this stuff. Trying to figure out what the right thing to do is.
I mean, I have other reasons too why I think maybe you should look outside of Ram.
Okay. Well, maybe the Cybertruck? No. No.
100% Cybertruck.
No,
that would be so much fun. You could nickname it Cyberturd. Oh wait, you've already done that.
I saw that thing in Dallas. I was in Dallas last week, and I saw it driving by. And holy cow, it looks to me it looks worse in person. I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah. By the way, thank you for everybody that's reached out to give messages. I just checked the messages on the Facebook page and the Instagram. The tornadoes that hit Nebraska were about 8 hours east of us. So we're totally fine. We had, it's been windy last couple of days, just typical spring weather. We'll have rain, snow, wind, a great day. And then, you know, it does again, like Jill's probably experienced in Chicago.
As you can see, I'm in a tank top today. That tells you how our weather in Chicago is right now.
Yeah, we attempted to play golf today, made it through 9 holes, and then we had to give up because the ball was like on the green. We just start moving. you couldn't even putt, and if you can't even putt, and you know putting is like you just stand there, the ball, the club. We couldn't even putt with the way the wind blowing, so we didn't do that. So, but it's been that way. So no, we didn't have any of the tornadoes. That was all east, very eastern side. So thankfully, we avoided a lot of that stuff. All right. So lots of different comments on that. Yeah, local dealer already has several 2025 Rams in a lot. And it seems like there's incentives on them. It seems like I just go buy one and just start filming stuff. That's kind of where I'm at this moment. I feel like the longer I sit on this order, the more it's not going to get built, the more it's going to be delayed, and the more we're going to be behind the eight ball. That's my thought. Let's move along, and you guys can keep comment down below. Jerk Soldier wants to know one more thing. Why are you only looking at trucks and not an SUV? Trucks are a lot easier for my tax lady to and for the IRS. SUVs, I have to keep track of mileage. I have to keep track of business miles versus personal miles. Same with cars, too. It creates a lot more headache and paperwork. And that thing is from the channel perspective, if you look at the top videos, they're all trucks. So it's really where the popularity is and the videos people are shopping for. That's what's happening. Earth Cruiser. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, I feel like I should answer Marky Mark's question really
quickly. Yeah,
yeah. Do I go to Cubs games? Yes, I do. Full disclosure.
Right, you're not a Cubs fan. Right.
I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan. But I do root for the home team. And I like baseball. I like going to baseball games, full stop, whether it's, you know, major league, minor league. I love spring training games. Those are super fun. But I like baseball. And yes, I go to Cubs games. Haven't been to one yet this year, though.
So let me ask you this question. So I used to go to baseball games a lot. Used to be an umpire for high school, which was a ton of fun. I wish I could go back in the day and just do junior high and high school baseball as an umpire. It was such a great time. What do you think of the pitch clock?
You know what? It's intriguing. It's taken me a while to get used to the pitch clock, but it does move the game along a little bit faster.
It does.
I don't think I would go so far as to say that it makes the game exciting.
Right.
I mean, it's baseball. Home runs are exciting, which I guess, you know, with the pitch clock, you have, you know, more likely to get more home runs because you're cycling through things faster. So I don't know. I mean, I would love to have known what my dad thought about the pitch clock, because my dad was a catcher and he was like a minor league catcher and played against Pete Rose and, you know, was really a great baseball player. And so but it happened after, you know, he got sick. And so he didn't really get to have a comment on it. But I would venture to say that he would not have liked it because he was so old school. But I do like the fact that it does move things along a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching some baseball the other day, and it's like things are moving. Like the guy in the batter's box not taking his gloves on, doing his glove, taking his glove, doing the glove. It just was crazy watching the Red Sox when they used to do those back in the day. My question is going to be, I guess, not to go on too much of a tangent, but I can't wait for you to go to a game. Because I'm curious, baseball on TV and baseball in person are like two different sports.
But they had the pitch clock last year.
Oh, did you go? So you went to the game last year?
Yeah.
So my question for them is, in person, does it feel like the game's moving that much faster?
It does.
I always felt like in person baseball, the game moves fast.
On TV, there wasn't enough time for me to get a second beer. That's how fast it moved.
Okay. Yeah. Because because on TV, it's like it takes forever.
Right.
But in person, it's always faster. So sorry, tangent.
Wilmer's, you know, damning me to hell.
Cubs, socks, and cards. Oh yes.
So the reason why I root for the Cardinals is because I went to high school in St. Louis, and that was the very first professional team that I ever followed and watched. And you know, then you move to Chicago, and they're so anti-Cardinals here. I kind of, if you know me, if you've met me, you will understand. I felt like I needed to thumb my nose a little bit at the Cubs fans because, you know, you can't tell me how I can cheer. And so I dug my heels in and became more of a Cardinals fan. And then I did root for the Cubs during the World Series. Like, underdogs got to win. But okay. I've probably digressed and talked enough about my baseball choices, but I just had to clarify a little.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jill, for being an instigator. All right. Moving along. Earth Cruiser. These ginormous overlanding rigs, they just filed for bankruptcy. And if you don't know these Earth Cruisers, basically it's imagining like a, I don't even know what you call this thing, a crew cab with a big living quarters behind it, diesel, obviously, full drive, go anywhere, live off grid for months at a time. And what I don't want to bring up too much of their woes of why they went to bankruptcy, but I wanted to talk with this Jill a little bit, because the question I'm having is the overlanding space? Oh, we've got a hat. Sorry for those listening to the podcast. Jill, step away to grab a hat. My question is, it feels like the overlanding space is becoming very saturated. Every manufacturer now is talking about overlanding. Every manufacturer feels like they have a special edition of overlanding. And that way these overlanding rigs, people are building their own rigs. It feels like we're getting to saturation limit and we're going to start having brands that don't make it, like Earth Cruiser, in that, you know, less demand. People aren't spending as much money as they used to on Earth Cruiser, especially during COVID. They had a big boom. Because you remember during COVID, what you can do is go out camping and fishing, live off grid. And so now they're not getting the same boom. Those things are pretty expensive. So I don't know. I feel like it's a weird timing, especially you brought up earlier, the Tacoma Trail Hunter, which is basically built for and aimed at overlanding audience. And all of a sudden now we have a brand like Earth Cruiser and other ones filing bankruptcy because of high interest rates and lack of demand.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if overlanding could be oversaturated. I mean, that's such a tough question because, like, you have automakers like Hyundai and Kia who have never done the overlanding thing, but they're starting to try and get into it. They're starting to think about it a little bit more. Like, if you look at the fact that Hyundai supported us for the past 2 years doing Revel, and then they did the modified XRT version of the Santa Cruz, you know, they're thinking about it. And they have the XRT version of the Santa Fe, which is really cool and has a lot of like camping overlanding type options. So, you know, more and more manufacturers are starting to think about it, but I don't know if the maybe it's the aftermarket that's oversaturated. Maybe people are wanting stuff that is more like inherently from the automakers. I don't know. I think that once you catch this trend, like, I don't know that it'll continue going up, but I can see it plateauing and you're still going to need stuff.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because, like, I got an email today from Overland Expo, and they have Overland Expo used to be this one place in Flagstaff. Now it's like Overland Expo West and East and Mountain West. And they're doing a new one, like in Missouri, Overland Expo Midwest or something. And they're like, hey, you come out, we'll sponsor you for a couple of days. You can, you know, sleep free in a tent or do this, do that. And I'm just like, no, like, no, I'm like, there's so much. And it's been Overland Expo West. I was talking to some of the original people. It's become so commercialized. Like, it's, everybody's throwing billions of dollars on stuff. And yeah, Bob Pritchard, yeah, $60,000 per Earth Cruiser. Who pays that money? People did.
People did, but maybe not that many people. And so maybe the answer is, like, people don't want a Hummer that costs $100,000 and then having to spend another $100,000 on overlanding whatever. So Maybe it's just that the people who do this overlanding thing, they're more like your Subaru owners who will just buy a tent to put in the back of the vehicle, and they don't want to spend all of this extraneous money.
No, you bring up a great point. I had forgotten that we had messaged a little bit about this earlier. GMC Hummer was supposed to do an Earth Cruiser like collaboration and go off-road and overlanding with a big EV, which I didn't quite understand that how that was going to work out. But okay, that's they had it figured out. And now that collaboration is obviously probably in the toilet because of Earth Cruiser filing bankruptcy. I don't know this. If you look in like moving towards more EVs, it's like, I don't understand how that's going to work. Maybe there's some big solar grid complex thing I'm not really aware of, but I'm not sure how you charge a Hummer off-road. I have not figured. I mean, hydrogen, yes, if you had a hydrogen fueling station, but I mean, infrastructure being built up. I know Rebel Rally, there's an EV driving class, and they bring a trailer with hydrogen that basically converts hydrogen into electricity that charges the vehicles overnight.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they have because they bring a fuel truck for the gas vehicles, and then they have the, you know, hydrogen truck for the EVs. And then, you know, along the way, there are times where you stop to charge at like an Electrify America or something.
So, yeah. I mean, I just imagine like you're trying to be off grid, but then you need all the support to make that happen. It just doesn't seem like it adds up for me. All right. I want to make sure I got to that story because I thought it was pretty interesting. We heard about
that. I know he sent me that the message. I was like, is this news? Is this really news?
Yeah. It's not really. I mean, it's kind of one of those things. It's not really news-ish, but it kind of is news. It's just a weird thing. I just want to bring it up. I'm not sure how many people know about Earth Cruiser. That's kind of my other point, too. We do not. We don't cover overlanding as much as other channels do, like our friends. Lots of friends who do a lot of better overlanding covers than we do. And I'm not sure how much of our audience understands Earth Cruiser was maybe in the future. So let's hit the website because some interesting things going on here. First of all, Jill wrote this story about the Kia Tasman. Jill, what did you make of the camouflage on this? If you haven't seen this photo yet, how do you describe it? Like it's like a...
It
like
looks
a tropical
paint splatter to me.
Yeah, it's like maybe a yellow base with a bunch of like red, blue, green lines on. I'm gonna click on the story. Hold on. I'm gonna click on the story and bring it up. So if you listen to the podcast, I'm doing the best description I can give you. It's a wrap, as far as I can tell. It's like a big wrap.
It's a wrap.
Yellow is in the background, and it very much looks like Aztec or Mayan kind of designs or something. I don't understand.
I just think it's like paisley design, paint splatter. And, you know, I feel like there was a description like this was designed by Australian designers, and there was a description and it's supposed to, and I'm probably not going to do the description justice, and I may even be getting it kind of wrong. So go to the story and click on the press release. But, you know, they were talking about, you know, trying to capture the Tasmanian terrain and the, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, it looks like paint splatter.
I got nothing. I have nothing for that. Anyways, we have no information on that. They're still talking about the Kia Tasman. But I want to go back. So
the Kia Tasman, let's
did they announce?
So the Kia Tasman, we don't know if we're going to get it in the United States, but I'm going to guess no. And right. It'll be kind of a mid-size-ish truck, and it's going to be built in South Korea, which is why I don't think that we will get it in the United States unless they build a factory in Mexico or something like that. Then you know, it could import up. But they've said that the competitors are going to be like the Hilux and the Ford Ranger. So the Toyota Hilux and the Ford Ranger. So it's meant to be a global vehicle. You know, we have a story on our website. One of the former product planners for Kia wrote a story for us about the Mojave pickup truck concept. And, you know, they were all gung-ho about the idea of bringing a pickup to the United States and then chicken tax. So, you know, because anything that's made foreign, trucks that are made foreignly in foreign countries.
Not in the U.S. Or actually, it's markedly trucks not made through the NAFTA agreement.
Yeah.
Mexico, Canada, and U.S.
Yeah, get a huge tax on them. So I don't think it's going to be coming to the United States, but I think it's an interesting idea. And I'll be very curious because Kia's never had a pickup truck globally. So I'll be very curious to see how it does globally competing with, you know, Toyota Hilux and Ford Ranger, because I mean, Toyota Hilux does really well. So
yeah, Toyota is one of the world's largest truck manufacturers, and it always gets lost. People think Ford sells the most, but they don't. Toyota does globally.
Yeah.
Speaking of our friends over at Ford. So y'all had seen the story, and it wasn't really news to me, but we thought we'd talk about it some more. Because I guess in my mind, I'd covered this, and that was just me being dumb, whatever. Ford quality issues, they have led the automotive industry for, what did you type in? 2 years, 3 years?
3 years. This is the third year.
Third year for the recall brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is fascinating stuff. Where is your quote on this? Because this was just fascinating. Yeah. According to Ford CEO Jim Farley, the 6 week delay in shipping of the freshened F-150 helped the company avoid 12 recalls, but it also cost $3 billion in revenue. Now, Jill and I have been discussing this offline. We're just like, what 12 recalls? I mean, holy cow. Like,
it's just like, okay. What 12 recalls, but what in the hell is wrong with the assembly line that would create these 12 recalls that they have to hold on to these 60,000 vehicles for 6 weeks to figure out what the problems are and fix them before they ship them out? Like, shouldn't that have been?
The fact he admitted that they were able to avoid 12 recalls.
I got that from an automotive news story. So it's not like Jim and I are BFF or anything.
Right.
You didn't tell it to me directly.
But still, it's like, I have never heard that before. I don't know. And I made it kind of a joke with Jill. It's like, isn't Henry Ford the father of the assembly line? Like, didn't he start the whole process? And now they can't. Ford can't build trucks without recalls. And remember, they did the Super Duty too. The Super Duty was massively delayed. They closed the plant down for, I think, was it a month or so to fix quality issues before they shipped. Like, I'm just beside myself trying to figure out, like, what is he talking about? Like, and Jim Farley is a straight shooter. Like, Jim Farley is not, he doesn't say fluff, but yeah. 12 recalls.
Yeah.
Wow. So we have more known issues on, known issues. We have a full story in the Ford as far as the 10-speed transmission, hard shifting. Yes, there has been tons of lawsuits on this. There's been tons of different things going on in the Ford's transmission. And it's funny because now when I drive newer vehicles that have multi-speed transmissions, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I start talking about, did I feel the transmission hunting for gears? Like, I'm just so much more aware of the transmission these days and going uphill and downhill and just feeling the shifting points and like trying to decipher whether it's slipping or not, because it's because it's become such a big issue.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know you've drove a CVT recently with Nissan Rogue, and there's no slippage there, but CVTs are, love them or hate them. Yeah. But I was going to ask you that. So there was a Nissan Rogue at the event I was at, and I chose not to drive it because I was doing some other stuff. But I was curious on the Rogue. We have a full review coming. I'm just picking her brain for a hot minute. did you feel like the interior updates were enough? Like, do you feel like, I mean, it's been a volume seller for Nissan for a while.
So what they did, I mean, essentially the big upgrades were the Google operating system and then a bigger 12.3 inch screen for the SL and the Platinum trim. And what else would you want to do? I mean, the interior of the Rogue was already really nice. And the Platinum trim is, you know, really nice. The one comment that I've been getting on some of the social media I've been posting is people are ticked that you can't get ventilated seats in the Rogue. And I was like, you can't? So then I'm like, build in price. And I was like, nope, not even on the Platinum trim. You can't get ventilated seats. So,
That's bizarre because in Arizona, I mean, in places, I was just in San Antonio. That's like a must in those areas. Huh. That's an interesting.
I mean, and I still use heated seats, but.
Right. Yes. But yeah, that's surprising. I was surprised that you gotten that back. But you also had something about like, what'd you say? Somebody's commented on the door. You had to press a button to open the door.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, like on the door handle, passive entry on a lot of vehicles, if you have the door handle here, you know, you just kind of put your hand over the door handle and then it unlocks. Like there's a sensor like between the door and the handle that just like senses your hand and it unlocks. But on Nissan vehicles, and I'll tell you, I'm driving a Mini Cooper Clubman this week and it's the same way. You actually have to press the button to lock or unlock it on the outside of the handle. Now, you don't have to have the key fob in your hand. You can still keep that in your pocket, your purse, or whatever, as long as it's on your person, but you have to press the button. And you know what? Maybe this means I'm old, but I actually like the button, and here's why. So with the Nissan and with the Mini, if you press it once, it just unlocks your door. If you press it twice, it unlocks all the doors. And if I'm alone in a parking lot and it's late at night, I don't want all the doors unlocked. However, if I'm with my husband, I want to be able to unlock the doors without opening the door and then having to press the button. So, and if you have the passive entry systems where you're just putting your hand over the door handle, you either unlock your door only, like it's a software issue, or you unlock all the doors all the time. There's no way for you to like double press a button or something and get all of the doors to unlock. So I actually kind of like the button because it gives me more control of how I lock and unlock the doors. And, you know, for me, it's just more of from an awareness safety perspective.
Yeah. And Andrew brings a point about, you know, people complain about actual keys and the push button. And it's funny how like the market, I feel like when I got in this job, it was all about which engine to get, which transmission to get, you know, should I get the bigger tire? Should I not? And now a lot of this job is, do I want the push button or a keyed ignition? Do I want the push button door or passive entry? I was talking to Ben and Beta, who just bought a Tacoma, and we were just talking in the forum about some things. And he's a big digital key guy, like a big. Mm-hmm. So your phone is your key, right? So you download the app on your phone, and near field technology, get it close to vehicle, it picks it up, and you're enabling a vehicle. I've never used that. I don't even bother using. I just don't even think that's a thing for me. But
I would love it, frankly, because when I leave my house, like I'll forget my wallet.
I know. Yeah.
I will forget my head if it's not attached.
I don't know how many times you like
ever forget my phone. Like
Jill's posted, she's like, I'm at the grocery store trying to buy groceries. Oh crap. Forgot my wallet. I'm like, oh my God, it just drives me up a wall. My wife does the same thing. So I'm just like, but you have Apple Pay, so you've been rescued by your phone.
I do, but I'm more than once I've been rescued by my phone. And like, I went to, like, last couple weeks ago, I went to the gas station and I was getting ready to, and there's like two blocks from my place, there's like a gas station. And so, you know, I was doing some video review and the low fuel light came on and I was like, oh, they're coming in to pick up this car in an hour. And I would feel really bad if I gave it to them. I'm like, sorry, you got to go fuel up immediately. I try not to play that game. I try to always turn it in with like at the very minimum, a quarter of a tank of gas. But I try to at least keep it at half, maybe a little bit more than that. And so I was just like, okay, I'll go get gas. And so when I'm filming video, so I don't have it in here with me, but I don't carry a purse anymore because carjacked. So I, you know, I try not to give like anybody an object to hone in on to like, oh, I want that purse. So I now have a wallet that has a clip on it and it sticks into the belt of my jeans. Like it sticks on the inside of my jeans. And when I'm doing video, it like creates like a little bit of a bump on the front of my body. And I don't need that in video if I can avoid it. So I just typically I'm like filming in front of my house. And so I just don't bring my wallet out. So the low fuel light comes on. I'm like, I should go fuel up. And so I go to the gas station, I pull in front of the pump and I get out and I'm like, right, I do not have my wallet. And I like look at the gas pump and it says Apple Pay available. And I was like, score. So I was able to use Apple Pay at the gas station, which I'd never done before. And it was pretty cool. So yes,
I gotta think about this. I don't think I've ever used Apple Pay. I think I have to set it up because I hate notifications on my phone. And it's like they'll ding me and ding me and ding me and ding me until I have a credit card link. So fine, I linked a credit card, but I've just never used it. But it's just interesting. We all have different opinions, and there are so many different opinions on that. Yeah. So Ben and Bate is talking about loving the wallet key on the Tacoma in place using a digital key, but a well done digital key is nice. So he's got the Tacoma. He talked about in being digital key, a person who likes them. Well, that came out weird trying to say that, but yeah, I don't know what's going on with that with my head. Anyways, so I've never used it. I just never have. I'm a key fob kind of person. I have a wallet and a key fob. The only thing I have done over the last couple of years, and this is interesting, we went to buy my son a wallet at Walmart, and they have these wallets that are now called front pocket wallets. I've worn my wallet in the front pocket since I went to New York City.
Okay, but yeah, so, I mean,
but and so I'm like, but Aubrey wallet's kind of a front pocket wallet. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't put my wallet in my back pocket if I were out and about. Just wouldn't do it.
Well, the other thing, too, is it can cause long-term damage to your spine for most men because we carry so much stuff in the wallet. Yeah, your butt cheeks are doing this thing. So that was, I don't know. I just had to ask you about the key fob and that stuff you've experienced in Nissan Rogue. I did not get a chance, and didn't drive one. And had that done. Oh, Ben must bring up a topic. So Ben used to own a Tesla, and I had him do a video because I was really curious about his Tesla ownership. So we should talk about this. We don't talk about Tesla very often on this channel, but let me back up and give you the full story. If you haven't watched the news lately, Tesla is in a bit of a problem. They have new competition from China.
From America.
In America, right? Jill wrote a story about the BYD Seagull being a really inexpensive Chinese built, subsidized, probably EV, but hell, was it $10,000 to $15,000, whatever.
$10,000.
Yeah, 190 miles to 200 and some miles of range. I mean, it's cheap. And I'm sorry, but you give people an inexpensive option like that, it's a big deal. Tesla has diminished sales. Toyota, actually, I just saw a story today. Toyota is the biggest car company in California. Tesla's number two, and Toyota sales and hybrids have skyrocketed in California.
Yeah.
And EVs are slowing. Battery EV are not selling as much. And so Tesla laid off a bunch of people. The stock price is kind of doing a wonky thing. They also laid off large chunk of the supercharger team, which a lot of us are scratching our heads because the supercharger is basically
the holy grail. Print them money.
Right. Yeah. And automakers are now in deals to use the Tesla supercharger network. And it seems like that is the long-term moneymaker. You know, it seems like Tesla makes more money off of selling carbon credits and supercharger to me than they do actually manufacturing and selling a vehicle. So I don't know what's going on over there, but yeah, it's Ben, you bring a brilliant point. It is very interesting to watch Tesla right now. And there, I don't want to say anything negative about Tesla because look, the Tesserati are real. They exist. if I say anything about Tesla,
wear special rings and have a password.
Yes, and the comments are just like, you no good, son. I'm like, okay, great. Elon has done a lot to move this industry forward in new ways. He's done a lot of stuff to break down some norms.
He's an innovator, and you need an innovator in every industry. But like this business sense, like I'm definitely scratching my head at laying off the supercharger team, you know, especially the woman who was like spearheading like all of the infrastructure, you know, build outs. I can't remember her first name, but I remember her last name is like Tanucci.
Yes. Something.
Is it Robin or something like that? Tanucci. Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, what? I don't. And it, was it 500 people that they laid off? It was a lot of people.
And two key executives. It was everybody on the Supercharger team. Like the entire team was gone. Two key executives. And then they also, was it the week before they laid off some?
Like 10% of its workforce, I thought.
Right. Last time I saw a story, it was like 140,000 people worked at Tesla. They cut 10% like last week. They have another 500 this week. I mean, it doesn't look good. And I think we all have known collectively that there are a lot of startup automakers that make it or break it. They don't. You know, like go through the list. In my career, people come to mind. Canoe comes to mind. Didn't make it. There was the farmer in Pennsylvania who was trying to build a truck. What's his name? And he started doing a commercial flatbed instead. What's that one in Illinois? Was it Illinois?
The workhorse.
Workhorse, yeah. The workhorse went under. I mean, you know, there's things that are going to happen to smart automakers are going to not. They're not going to make it. It's just what's going to happen. And so, could they be done? Ooh.
No, I mean,
I don't think they're done.
Tesla's not going to be done. I think that they'll reorganize, they'll come back. But, you know, I just think that they have to rebalance because they used to be the only game in town for like 12 years. They were the only game in town.
Yeah.
And now they have some competitors. And so I think they need to rebalance. I think they need to rethink their strategy. I think their vehicles might need a redesign. But I mean, the moneymaker is the supercharger. And that to me is what makes no sense because they've managed to get pretty much every automaker to sign on to the next system. And now they've laid off all of their people. So does that mean that the infrastructure is going to tank? And if the infrastructure tanks, what happens to all these deals they've made with Ford, with Chevrolet, with, you know, GMC, with Nissan, with, you know, all of these people who have bought into the infrastructure and the infrastructure already sucks. So, I mean.
And what happens to Tesla owners? Tesla owners who used to, the system worked reliably for them and all of a sudden doesn't work. I don't know. Bollinger was who I was thinking about, the Bollinger truck company. Right. And now they're trying to do commercial chassis. And just people aren't buying this stuff. I don't know. Rivian seems like it's pretty cool. Rivian seems like they're doing a lot of good things. And Lucid, as Elliot points out, Lucid Air seems like doing well. But then you got people like Fisker. Henry put his house in a market and his house is worth more than this company's worth or something. It was such kind of a crazy story. Yeah. Wilmar wants to know, will Tesla or Twitter die first? Now that is an interesting discussion. I don't know what's going to happen.
You know, there are still enough people that are engaged on Twitter that I don't see it going anywhere. And I thought Threads would take off more than it has. So I don't know. I mean, I'm one of those people that when a new social medium comes out, I join just because I'm curious. You know, I have a post account and, you know, I joined, but I don't see a lot going on there. You know, I have a Threads account. I don't see a lot going on there. And I still kind of lurk on Twitter, X Twitter. I'm starting to call it X Twitter because it is Twitter, but it is now X Twitter. But there's still a lot of activity there. I mean, I don't agree. Like I used to be verified on Twitter and I'm not anymore because I won't pay them money. So I think that Elon's business sense, like even though he has billions of dollars, like I just think his common sense business sense isn't there.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't know. It's
and I've just doomed myself with the Teslarati. I get it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
Jill Simonello. You can find me there. Please go ahead.
You're gonna wake up to like 900 notifications tomorrow.
Probably. I know. Ping, ping, ping. They're starting to come through. No, they're not coming.
I do this sometimes. Wake up in the morning and look at my phone. I have a lot of notifications. I'm just like, ugh.
No, whenever I have a lot of notifications, it's because my mother got on Facebook.
Oh, yes. Your mother and my mother. All of a sudden, I have 20 notifications, same person liking all these different posts. Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things. Guys, I'm a little out of steam tonight. I apologize, but I have not been sleeping well, so I'm going to cut this short about 45 minutes. We usually go a little bit longer.
45 minutes? You're going to cut it short 45 minutes or at 45 minutes? At 45 minutes.
See? Got it. Thank you.
Let's enunciate a little bit. You definitely are on short steam.
Yes, I'm not enunciating well. Like,
I can't remember what time zone I'm on.
Right. So we've been, I'm kind of losing steam.
As Dick says, good morning, Tibbet.
Yeah, because he's in Asia. He's in Asia. Yeah. And Ben's got the comment of the night. I think the Cybertruck maybe didn't hit as well as they'd hoped either.
You think?
Yeah, I don't think it did at all. I think the thing is a rolling. I don't understand that one. I'm lost on that one. Anyways, that's all for tonight. Check us out on the podcast. Listen to us. Yeah, over there.
Sorry, Dick. We're saying goodbye right as you're saying. Right. Hello.
Sorry, Dick. Yeah, you can hit the replay button. Thanks everybody for watching and paying attention to the channel. I've been trying to put out interesting videos, and Jill has loaded me up. I have all sorts of videos to edit, so I will be in my office next couple of days editing while rain hits.
We've got Nissan Rogue coming. Subaru Forester is going to be off embargo on Monday, so that'll be coming. I've got a range test in the Kia EV9 that's coming up, and Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio.
So, Lee, Jill does not drink caffeinated coffee. Just so you know, Jill drinks decaf.
Well, I have a cup of coffee. Like, again, I was in Barcelona, then I came home for a day, then I went to Montana, then I came home for a day, then I went to Indiana, and now I'm back in Chicago. I literally don't know what time it is or what day it is, so I will admit to having a cup of caffeinated coffee this morning, but I haven't had any caffeine in, like, a solid 10 hours. I'm just naturally energetic. Isn't that awesome?
And make sure to check out the website for more pickuptrucktalk.com. as always, thanks for watching. We will see you down the road.